Hey, welcome into Positive Light Podcast, where we're bringing a positive influence into this world and into your lives. And hi, I'm Bob Miles. Hey, welcome in, and today's subject is going to be on your personal relationship with God and how important it is. So when you have a relationship with God, it is for eternity. You will be with Him forever. You will be in His mercy, grace, and love forever. You will have His guidance forever. He should and will, if you let Him, become your best friend. So God calls you to a relationship with Him. Out of Romans 1:7, I am writing to all of you in Rome who are loved by God and are called to be His own holy people. So Rick Warren writes, the most important calling on your life isn't something you do. Your most important calling isn't a role. It's not regulations, rules, or rituals. It's not even a religion. Your first call above all else is to a relationship with God. God wants you to be part of His family. He wants you to be His child. The most important thing you'll ever happen to you isn't something you'll do. It's something God will do. He'll call you as His child. He wants you to know Him and love Him and be His beloved son or daughter. The Bible says it like this: what an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we should be named and called and counted to be children of God. And so we are, out of 1 John 3. As you follow God, you don't have to check off all the things you think you should do with your life. Focus on your relationship with God, and He will not only reveal your unique calling, He also will show you how to do what He wants you to do. So how do you build a healthy relationship with God's help? Jesus said the greatest commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength. The second greatest commandment is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these, out of Mark 12. We all have been made wonderfully complex and full of flaws, and until we embrace who we are, including our flaws, we cannot make the changes in our lives that will bring about true transformation. Your connections are the second factor that influences your identity. Your connections give your life purpose, meaning, and identity. If you grew up with dysfunctional relationships, then you question your purpose and struggle with identity. In Mark 12:30 and 31, Jesus said that the most important thing we should do are to love God and to love other people. Life is not about your accomplishments or your acquisitions, your popularity, or prestige. It's how well you love. There are three problems that keep us from loving fully as God intended. We're all imperfect. There are no perfect relationships because there are no perfect people. And sin disconnects us. Adam and Eve had the first broken relationship and disconnected themselves from God and from each other. We've been excusing ourselves and accusing the people we love ever since. The more disconnected we are, the more fearful we become. We crave intimacy, but we fear vulnerability. We crave acceptance, but we fear rejection. You're a product of your relationships. Study after study shows that our identity is largely determined by what we think the most important people in our lives think of us. That's why you should make sure that Jesus is the most important person in your life, because He will love you unconditionally. We all have different connections, some healthy, some broken. It's important to have healthy connections because they play such a large role in determining your identity. People with healthy relationships don't have to ask, does my life matter? You may not have had any say in the hand that you were dealt in life, but God sent His Son as your Savior to transform your cards into a winning hand. No matter what connections you've made in life, whether good or bad, you will be held responsible for what you do with your connections today. Will you let God affect your connection? Will you trust Him for your future in spite of a difficult past? Will you nurture, protect, and build relationships so that God is more fully glorified in your life? So let's go ahead and dive into your walk with God. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Again, out of Mark 12:30. God's love for you is deep, wide, and more intense than you can imagine. But it can be a struggle to love Him back the way we should. Here are some practical ways to dive deeper into your relationship with God through prayer, reading the Bible, and relationship with others. So let's start with prayer. It says, prayer without ceasing, out of 1 Thessalonians 5:17. You can't have a deep relationship with God unless you spend time with Him. And one way to do that is through prayer. But how should we pray in order to draw closer to God? And here are some practical ideas. Pray often. Sometimes we fall into a habit of praying only when we want something from God. Most of us have whispered a desperate last-minute prayer, "Help me, God." But the Bible says we should pray without ceasing. That means going to God throughout the day to thank Him, praise Him, and make requests for ourselves and others. Pray in a quiet place when you can focus on God. Jesus said, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you," out of Matthew 6:6. And don't focus on fancy words and long prayers. Jesus also said, "And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases, thinking God will hear you better if you talk more. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him," out of Matthew 6. Use the Lord's Prayer as a guide. The words known as the Lord's Prayer are found in Matthew, again after chapter 6. If you can recite it by heart without even thinking about it, take time to look at the words with a fresh perspective to see how Jesus is telling you to pray. So remember the words ACTS. Some people find it helpful to use the letter ACTS to remember how to pray. A stands for adoration. Tell God you adore and praise Him. Spend time worshiping Him. C stands for confession. Confess your sins to God and ask Him to forgive you. T stands for thanksgiving. Thank God for His Son Jesus and the blessings that are in your life. And S stands for supplication. Ask God to supply your needs and the needs of others. And out of the scriptures, man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord, out of Deuteronomy 8. Do you ever wish God would speak to you, give you some direction? Maybe there are a lot of things you'd rather do than read the Bible. Yet, that's one of the best things to do for one-on-one time with God. The books of the Bible are His words to you. It's full of wisdom, life lessons, truth, and encouragement. If you commit to reading the Bible daily, you just might find you look forward to it. Here are 8 tips and ideas to get started. Think of the Bible as food for the soul. A daily dose can bring peace and balance to your life and help you think and act in ways pleasing to God. Get into a routine. Set aside at least 10 minutes a day to read the Bible. It might mean getting up a little earlier or finding a quiet spot away from everybody's distractions. Maybe you read it with a cup of coffee during the lunch break or before bed. Set a time to stick to it. Don't worry if understanding the Bible seems hard at first. Before you begin reading, pray and ask God to help you understand what you're about to read. Ask Him to show you what He wants you to learn. Study Bibles are also helpful in giving you context. Keep these 3 questions in mind as you read. What does this passage mean? What is God saying to me in this passage? And how can I apply this to my own life? Ask your friend, or if you have a spouse, your spouse, to read along with you. Maybe you can go through reading plan together or meet each week to talk about what you've read. Text or email Bible verses to each other or use a Bible app to friend each other and share notes. So the Bible can be overwhelming, so where should we begin? See if your church has a printable Bible reading plan or search for it online. You can also aim to read a chapter a day. Try one proverb a day for each day of the month. Joining a life group or Bible study group is another good option. Read by topic. The book of James is all about Christian living. The Psalms, a book of worship, can enrich your devotion to God. And Proverbs is full of wisdom to strengthen your relationship with others. And don't beat yourself up if you miss a day. Renew your commitment and pick it back up the next day. What about relationships? Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins, out of 1 Peter 4. We've all had moments where we put tasks over people. Maybe you found yourself engulfed and in deadlines at work, barely coming up for air to chat with coworkers. Or perhaps you spent so much time prepping food during the dinner party that your guests had to entertain themselves. Whether you're with your spouse, children, friends, or even complete strangers, we're each involved in some type of relationship. And the Bible says we should take them all seriously, whether we want to or not. The secret to strengthening relationships that have weakened over time or never really gained ground is to love, but not just half-hearted, shallow love. We are to love others earnestly, meaning with purpose and ambition. Here are three ways you can be intentional with your relationships. First, show your love. Saying I love you is meaningful, but can resonate deeper with action behind it. Make a greater effort to pay attention to those around you and do something to communicate your love in a way that's special to them. Even small gestures and quality time can leave a lasting impression. Second, forget about yourself. God's love for you is the greatest example of how to love and care for others. For there is no struggle we've had that Christ did not experience, yet he unselfishly gave his time to meet the needs of others. In your relationships, strive for their deeper connection that leaves people changed for the better. Listen carefully and find out what's important to them. How can you join them in prayer? Do you have a solution to something they need? And third, extend grace. Can you think of a few individuals you're not good terms with? Difficult people aren't excluded from our relationship building. Broken relationships are perhaps the most important to mend and improve. Love is not easily angered, out of 1 Corinthians 13. And if you find yourself holding a grudge or avoiding someone because of the past, it may be time to extend grace. Forget who started what and reach out with genuine forgiveness and an open heart. So next, I'm going to share a funny clip from War Room. It includes a valuable lesson on giving all or nothing.
I appreciate you coming this morning. Coffee will be ready in a couple of minutes.
Oh, sounds good. Mm-hmm. Now, I ran a sales report from the area, wrote down a suggested asking price for the house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Now, what did you say your husband did for a living?
Well, we actually haven't talked about that, but he's a sales rep for Brightwell Pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm. And where did you say you attended church?
Well, we occasionally attend Riverdale Community.
Mm-hmm. So you would say you know the Lord?
Yes, I would say I know the Lord. You think the Lord is okay with this asking price?
Mm-hmm. And you have children?
Miss Clara, my husband Tony and I have been married for 16 years. We have one daughter, her name is Danielle, and she's 10. She enjoys pop music and ice cream and jumping rope.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. Now, you say you attend church occasionally. Is that because your pastor only preaches occasionally?
Miss Clara, I really would like to help you sell your house. That's why I'm here. As far as my faith is concerned, I believe in God just like most people. He's very important to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me get our coffee. So if I asked you what your prayer life was like, would you say that it was hot or cold?
I don't know that I would say it's hot. I mean, we're like most people. We have full schedules. We work. But I would consider myself a spiritual person. I'm not hot, but I'm not cold either. Just, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Here you go. I've got cream or sugar if you need
it. Oh, no, thank you. I like it black. Miss Clara, you like your coffee room temperature?
No, baby, mine's hot.
Why your personal relationship with God should matter more than any relationship you have. There will never be a relationship in your life that's more important than the one you have with God in Christ. You could say that you're a friend of the president or prime minister of your country, or perhaps even the heads of all states. Yet nothing compares to being the friend of the creator of the universe. Your relationship with God is more important than any relationship that you'll ever have in your entire life. And here's some reasons why. Your relationship with God determines where you will spend the whole of eternity. Having a relationship with God, or not having it, clearly says where you will spend all of eternity after death. This relationship can only begin by repenting of your sin and turning to Christ for salvation. It simply follows that having a real, genuine relationship with God means that you have done that and are saved. And out of John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Your relationship with God powers you up for daily living. Your friendships and other relationships will drain you, but your relationship with God will power you up so that you can live a full life daily. When you give more importance to other relationships, you give away all that you have, including your time, attention, energy, and resources. When you prioritize your relationship with God, you receive more than you can ever give to Him. The effects of the relationship are even more visible when one is in the wrong relationship. Bad company corrupts good morals, directly from Corinthians 15. Having good friends influence you towards the good. Having bad friends influence you towards the bad. Having godly friends influence you to be godly. But having God as your Father, your friend, and your everything transforms you into Christ's likeness. Your relationship with God will last for all eternity. Everything we have in this earth will fade away, be it riches, friendships, connections with big people, and even ourselves. Yet one thing that will not fade away is God Himself. So out of Matthew 24:35, it says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." So because of this, we should choose to invest ourselves in Him. Christ said, "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be." Out of Matthew 6 again, if we invest ourselves in worldly relationships, we will only reap worldly benefits. If we invest in God, who is in and for all eternity, we will reap eternal harvests. So next, I'm going to play a song by Tommy Walker called God's Family, and here it is.
Oh, just to belong,
just to belong,
just to belong,
just to belong
in a family,
in a family,
God's family,
God's family,
just to be one,
just to be one
of His daughters and sons,
of His daughters and sons.
It's what we really want. On each face, we are precious in His sight when we sing our Father's praise. Just to belong,
just to belong,
just to belong,
just to belong
in a family,
in a family,
God's family. Just to be one,
just to be one
of His daughters and sons,
of His daughters and sons.
That's what we really want.
That's what we really want.
To be known and loved. Precious in His sight when we sing our Father's praise. God's family. There's a place for me. In God's family. It's where I wanna be. In God's family. There's a place for me. In God's family. It's where I wanna be. In God's family.
And the part of the song that I like the best, it says, in God's family, there's a place for me. In God's family, it's where I want to be. So next, I'm going to read you a story, and it's called God's Under the Bed. My brother Kevin thinks God lives under his bed. At least that's what I heard him say one night. He was praying out loud in his dark bedroom, and I stopped outside his closed door to listen. Are you there, God? He said. Where are you? Oh, I see. Under the bed. I giggled softly and tiptoed off to my own room. Kevin's unique perspective are often a source of amusement, but that night something else lingered long after the humor. I realized for the first time the very different world Kevin lives in. He was born 30 years ago, mentally disabled as a result of difficulties during labor. Apart from his size, he's 6'2", there are few ways in which he is an adult. He reasons and communicates with the capabilities of a 7-year-old, and he always will. He will probably always believe that God lives under his bed, that Santa Claus is the one who fills the space under our tree every Christmas, and that airplanes stay up in the sky because angels carry them. I remember wondering if Kevin realizes he's different. Is he ever dissatisfied with his life? Up before dawn each day, off to work at a workshop for the disabled, home to walk our Cocker Spaniel, returning to eat his favorite macaroni and cheese for dinner, and later to bed. The only variation in the entire scheme are laundry days, when he hovers excitedly over the washing machine, like a mother with her newborn child. He does not seem dissatisfied. He lopes out to the bus every morning at 7:05, eager for a day of simple work. He wrings his hands excitedly while the water boils on the stove before dinner, and he stays up late twice a week to gather our dirty laundry for the next day's laundry chores. And Saturdays? Oh, the bliss of Saturdays. That's the day my dad takes Kevin to the airport to have a soft drink, watch the planes land, and speculate loudly on the destination of each passenger inside. That one's going to Chicago, Kevin shouts as he claps his hands. His anticipation is so great he can hardly sleep on Friday nights. I don't think Kevin knows anything exists outside his world of daily rituals and weekend field trips. He doesn't know what it means to be discontent. His life is simple. He will never know the entanglements of wealth or power. He does not care what brand of clothing he wears or what kind of food he eats. He recognizes no differences in people, treating each person as an equal and a friend. His needs have always been met, and he never worries that one day they may not be. His hands are diligent. Kevin is never so happy as so when he is working. When he unloads the dishwasher or vacuum the carpet, his heart is completely in it. He does not shrink from a job when it begins, and he does not leave a job until it's finished. But when his tasks are done, Kevin knows how to relax. He is not obsessed with his work or the work of others. His heart is pure. He still believes everyone tells the truth, promises must be kept, and when you are wrong, you apologize instead of argue. Free from pride and unconcerned with appearances, Kevin is not afraid to cry when he is hurt, angry, or sorry. He is always transparent, always sincere. And he trusts God, not confined by an intellectual reasoning when he comes to Christ. He comes as a child. Kevin seems to know God, to really be friends with him in a way that is difficult for an educated person to grasp. God seems like his closest companion. In my moments of doubt and frustrations with my Christianity, I envy the security Kevin has in the simple faith. It is then that I am most willing to admit that he has some divine knowledge that rises above my mortal questions. If it is then I realize that perhaps he is not the one with the handicapped, I am, by obligation, my fears, my pride, my circumstances, they all become disabilities when I do not submit them to Christ. Who knows if Kevin comprehends things I can never learn? After all, he has spent his whole life in the kind of innocence, praying after dark and soaking up the goodness of the love of the Lord. And one day, when the mysteries of heaven are opened, and we are all amazed at how close God really is to our hearts, I realize that God heard the simple prayers of a boy who believed that God lived under his bed. Kevin won't be surprised. We need to choose to prioritize your relationship with God more than any other relationship you have or you'll ever have. He is worth all the pursuit. In fact, he's the one pursuing us. Out of Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning in shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And out of Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. And out of Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we could be in a relationship with him. He's not indifferent to the issue. He went to great lengths to bring us into a relationship with him. Jesus took our sins on himself and covered us with his righteousness, making us fully forgiven and fully accepted by him. We don't have to first live good lives or perform religious rituals or spend years begging him. God is the one who made it possible for us to have a relationship with him. And we come to him based on what he did for us rather than what we can do. He paid for our sins in order to forgive us and come into our lives. Out of 1 Peter 3:18 it says, For Christ died for our sins once and for all, the righteousness for the unrighteousness to bring you to God. So that brings us to the end of our episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it today. My closing prayer will always be that God blesses the journey you're on with him and that you embrace the path that he has you on. Next week's episode is going to be on why I am here and God's plan for my life. You guys can connect with me at positivelightpodcast@gmail.com. I'm also on the internet, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can catch me anywhere you download your podcast for free. Make sure you check out the medical stuff and EMS 2020. Good friends of mine helped me set this up. You all have a great week. God bless. Talk to you next week.